Good Devach, Shavua Tov. This is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer from Brooklyn, New York. Tonight, our learning is Le'ilui Nishmas, Izzy Cheta Lavashalom, Le'ilui Nishmaso, Yisrael Meir Ben Yochanan. In the zchus of our learning together, may the Neshama indeed have a great Aliyah. The beginning of Achrei Mos reminds us, of course, as the Pasuk says, Achrei Mos Bnei Aaron, that the sons of Aaron had perished. And there are so many explanations as to what exactly was the cause for Nadav and Avihu's death. There is a Medrash. Medrash says, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, that the reason that they died is because they were Mar Halacha Bifnei Rabbo, in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. That they made a halachic ruling in the presence of their Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu. And this warranted the death penalty. Now, the question which arises here is, without having to understand the ways of Hashem, but, you know, in the scale of things, is this really a, you know, such a terrible thing to be Mar Halacha Bifnei Rabbo? I mean, some of the other things that are ascribed to Nadav and Avihu, you know, they made an affirmative decision not to marry and have children. I mean, that goes like to the essential, that undermines the essential core of what it means to be a human being, a Jew, an Eved Hashem. You know, I mean, that's big. Morar halacha b'fnei rabo? I mean, if a person knows the halacha and can come to the halacha, so like, is this really worthy of the death penalty to go up against or to demonstrate this kind of behavior? So I think that if you accept the question, the secret to the, or this question can be unlocked, or the mystery can be unlocked by looking at who the author of this is. Tani Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer taught, Lo mesu banav shel Aaron, el yal yidei shehoru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. And the Medrash continues, Maisa b'talmid echad shehoru l'fnei Rabbo, Rabbi Eliezer. It happened once that a Talmud was mar halacha, ruled in halacha, in the presence of Rabbi Eliezer himself. Amar li ima shalom, he said to his wife, ima shalom was her name, said, this person, ena motzi shabbato, he's not going to live the week. This guy who is mar halacha. Lo ba shabbato ad shemes, week didn't go by and the guy died. So the chacham came and they said, what, are you a navi? He said, I'm not a navi, and I'm not a ben navi. But I have a tradition. You're not mar halacha b'fnei rabo. So this indicates a very sort of humble approach of Rabbi Eliezer. You're not mar halacha b'fnei rav. This is a big, big deal. Similarly, along these lines, the Gemara in Sukkah tells us that Rabbi Eliezer once said about himself, he never said anything, he never taught anything that he originally had not heard from his own Rebbeim. So, you know, the whole gestalt, if you will, of Rabbi Eliezer is to be a person who is very submissive and subservient and submits to the higher authority, if you will. And this calls into question a famous Gemara in Bava Metzia, which becomes very difficult to understand. And this famous Gemara is the story of Rabbi Eliezer and Tanur Shel Achnai. There was a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the other Chachamim. At the head of that group is Rabbi Yoshua. Whether the Tanur Shel Achnai was considered Tahor or Tameh. So Rabbi Eliezer said it was Tahor. They all said it was Tameh. And he brought a slew of logical reasonings and explanations to support his position. Says the Gemara, Lo kiblu hemenu, they did not accept his position. So he said, a famous story, if the law follows me, let the tree demonstrate that I'm right. A miracle happened and the tree jumps out of its place. They turn around and they say, you can't bring a raya from a tree. Then they say, okay, if I'm right, the water, the river should prove that I'm right. And the river reversed the stream when, you know, started flowing upstream. Again, they said, you don't bring a raya. There's no, you can't bring any proof from a river. And then he said, okay, what about, if I'm right, then the walls of the base medrash should fall in. And they started falling. And then stepped in Rabbi Yoshua. And Rabbi Yoshua says, while Talmidei Chachamim are arguing halacha, the walls of the base medrash have no place. In other words, there is no place for divine intervention over here. And the walls, in respect to Rabbi Yoshua, stopped crumbling, and they, and in respect to Rabbi Eliezer, did not stand ramrod straight. Rabbi Eliezer wasn't done. Famously, the Gemara concludes that he said, if the halacha follows me, min ha-shamayim yochicho HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be a sign from heaven. And a bas kol comes out, a heavenly voice, and says, what are you guys doing? Everybody knows, says the bas kol, shahalacha kemosa b'chol makom. The halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer in all places, whenever he makes his position clear. So Rabbi Yoshua, again representing the majority, stands up, and he says, lo b'shamayim hi, this is not the place for the divine word to have an impact, to have any say. Because once the Torah was given, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to human beings, and now it's the role of human beings. So this is basically where, you know, the famous part of the story ends. There's a postscript which is well known, but not quite as well known. And that is, as a consequence of this whole scenario, where Rabbi Eliezer refused to accept the authority of the Chachamim, they put him in Cheirim. And this basically, you know, Rabbi Eliezer sort of lived the remainder of his life, you know, in obscurity. So this is a story. Now, if you think about it, this famous story of Rabbi Eliezer stands in direct opposition to how we started this evening. We said that Rabbi Eliezer said that the sin of Nadav and Avihu is that they were mar halacha b'fnei rabo. They paskin halacha in front of the Rabbi. Lo amar davar shelo amar b'fnei rabo. He never said anything that he had not already heard from his Rabbeim. And now we see the Gemara in Bava Metzia telling us that he was, you know, a strong personality, that he was willing to go up against everybody. And he wasn't going to accept, the rule of the majority. What Rabbi Yoshua had to say was irrelevant. He was sure that he was right. And the truth of the matter is, the divine word of Bas Kol comes out and says he is right. But he was wrong because you have to follow the majority. So how do you square these two very different sets of stories about Rabbi Eliezer? So Stam Rabbi Eliezer in the Gemara is Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus. And indeed, the Gemara in Bava Metzia makes it clear that Rabbi Eliezer over there is Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus. And Rabbi Eliezer in our Medrash that says that Nadav and Avihu died because they made a halachic ruling in the presence of their Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu is also Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus. So how do we square these two very, very, it's like split personality almost? I would suggest that there is yet a third story that one should look at that will help us understand these two other stories. I believe that, I can't prove it, but I believe that the story of Bava Metzia of Tanur Shel Achnai is the before story, and the Medrash about Nadav and Avihu is the after story. It's before and after. But something happened in the middle. What happened in the middle that changed Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus? So here, I'll remind us all of yet another famous story, and that is the story of the crumbling of Yerushalayim towards the end of Bayis Sheni, when there was great machlokas in Yerushalayim. Do we accommodate the Romans? Do we compromise? Do we negotiate with the Romans, or do we fight to the bitter end? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. I mean, you can't get bigger than Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And the Chachamim said, we're going to negotiate. We're going to compromise. We're going to come to some. We're going to come to some resolution with the Romans. And he was sneaked out of the city. Do you remember who sneaked him out of the city? Two people are mentioned, and they are Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus and Rabbi Yoshua, the two participants of this grand debate about Tanur Shel Achnai. Rabbi Yoshua representing the majority, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus standing up against them. The two of them are working hand in hand to help Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai out of the city. So what happened to Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus? Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus sees Yerushalayim crumbling under his feet. You know why? Because even though the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Gamliel, the Chachamim, they said, we have to take this route, the Brionim, the small people, if you will, they said, no, we know what is right. We're going to do what is right. And it doesn't make a difference. We are absolute, clear, and sure. Our passion is undilutable. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus, as it were, metaphorically, turns around and looks at Yerushalayim crumbling, burning, as it were, behind him. And now he says, ah, I understand. I understand. And this is how Rabbi Eliezer, I believe, moves from being the one who was going to stand up against the Chachamim, come what may, to the one who says, Lo amar davar shel shamayim mipi rabo. I never said anything. I never taught anything that I didn't yet hear from my rabbis. And this explains Rabbi Eliezer's understanding of Nadav and Avihu, and why he believes that this is worthy of the death penalty. Because who were Nadav and Avihu? Nadav and Avihu took their karbon, took their pans, put a fire in the pan, the esh, the fire in the pan, and brought it in. What does this represent? It represents an unbridled and absolute passion, a clarity of purpose. But you know what? It doesn't make a difference. When a person is so clear and so passionate that he's willing to cross the boundaries, then that inherently becomes the problem. Because the system cannot function that way. It'll all come apart, right? The community falls apart, the family falls apart, Yadus falls apart. It cannot be that everybody who's passionate about what they believe is true and they are intellectually rigorous about what they believe is true, it doesn't mean that we just all do what we want. And this is precisely what Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus saw with his own eyes, the consequences of that type of behavior. And Yerushalayim falls under that weight. The Jews in Jerusalem could have waited out the Roman siege for many, many, many years. They had plenty of food and plenty of water and plenty of stores, and they could have done it. But their Brionim burnt the stores. Because we know what's right. It's true, there are Shivim Panim La Torah, there are many ways to interpret the Torah, and they all have a strand of MS from the Ribono Shel Olam. But we have to have some humility of spirit to be able to say, I'm going to follow the Rov. I'm going to follow the Chachamim. I'm going to do even though it doesn't seem to me to be right. And if I'm not standing on a Sanhedrin or on a Beis Din or on some weighty communal policy decision, this message is relevant to day-to-day living. This is true in relationships between husband and wife. To be able to stand back and to be a little bit humble in front of the other person. It's true with our children, with our parents, with our neighbors, with our friends, with our shuls, with our schools, with our yeshivas. Everybody knows, everybody is passionate, everybody's got a fire in the pan, and everybody knows exactly what's right. And the only way that ends is in Chorban. So I think that during these times, during these days of Sfiras HaOmer, when we are mourning the death of the students of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, it is worthwhile for us to double down on humility, to double down on achdus, to double down on the ahavta l'reicha kamocha, to double down on what we need to do in order to give space to the other, and in doing so, lahagdil Torah ve'ulahadira, that the Torah should be glorified and that our communities will thrive. Agudvach to all.